Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, 720 is not HD.
It's not.
It's like half HD. Dude, that was the sort of shit they was trying to sell you. What was it, man? Like 2009, 2010?
Because on the old YouTube,
they call it 720 HD.
But it's not HD. I'm so confused.
It's because standard definition.
Are they allowed to lie to you like that?
And 240? Yeah.
Can you sue them?
Who are you going to sue? An entire industry.
Why not? Just because you're a big industry or a big corporation doesn't mean you're allowed to lie.
Yeah, but
it's literally a sin.
It's almost like a ubiquitous thing. So who do you sue?
Who owns YouTube?
No, but it's not just YouTube, is it? It was people that was making HD tellies in 2009.
Someone will find a way. Like, you know the way the world is now? Anyone can complain about anything and everything some way. Well, there's not anyone that is uncancelable.
I think Elon Musk is.
Has anyone seen Long Beach Griffey?
What?
Someone must have watched Long Beach Griffey on YouTube. His content is wild. He does like skits and memes, but it's like, I can't describe on here what he does, but it's like taking a piss out of things that you aren't allowed to take the piss out of. Mm. But for some reason, he's kind of just broke that kind of barrier of not being able to be cancelled. It's like extreme stuff. Like it's, it's for example, he'll come into it and he'll say,
anyway,
wait. He'll come in and he'll be like, when rappers come to the studio sad. And then you can imagine the sort of lyrics he's saying. I'm not going to describe any further.
It's just really interesting just content where you go, can't really talk about it, and I can't really describe it.
Just subscribe to Long Beach Griffey. And
right, anyway, cool green light, Steve. I'll tell you about him. I come up with an absolutely genius name for this podcast last week. Mm. Ronaldo had nothing to do with it.
The GX Files.
No, the XG Files.
The XG. I meant to ask you, it sounded fancy, it sounded good, it sounded nice, it sounded perfect. But then I started to think about it more and more and I thought, XG, expected what? Is it the goals? Is it something else? Is it?
It's a play on the...
Oh, is it expected?
Because you're into aliens and weird shit, the X-Files was all about conspiracies and weird shit. It was a TV program in the 90s. Did you even know that?
Yeah, I did.
Right, okay. So, the XG Files sort of ties it into football. I can't believe I'm explaining this. It ties it into football and is a show that people are aware of. Therefore, it works. Because if you try and come up with a name for a football podcast, it's fucking hard work.
We know
everything's
that.
Been taken.
We know that. Nah, but we saw loads of comments, though, with loads of great ideas.
No, we saw no great ideas. The Ron Howson podcast and the Steve Naldo fucking podcast. Sorry, lads.
They were the good ones, but I saw a couple of decent ones. I can't get over this green little fumes in the back.
Like it?
Yeah. It looks like you've let one off, Steve.
Oh, my God. Right. You said you've got a story about a wing mirror.
Do you know what? I did mention that to you. I didn't know whether I should say it on here because it's kind of damning on myself, but I did smash my wing mirror on the weekend and it was kind of because I might or might not have fell asleep at the wheel.
You're a fucking legend. I'm lightheaded. Where did you fall asleep?
At the wheel.
No, you dick. Whereabouts? Oh, on the motorway?
No, obviously not on the motorway. It was literally one of them where obviously I'm driving back and you're tired. This was what made it worse. It's midday. It's like the normal. It's like, and I'm tired. I'm on the wheel. I'm cruising. It's just a straight road, Wimbledon Road. And I've drifted for like So surely some people have done it before. Like for literally a second and a half.
Sure,
that's all it takes. And literally, as soon as I open my eyes, I'm swerving to the left and there's like a pillar coming out. Oh, this is my look. If it was any other area, I could have just come back normal and just work on or stay awake.
It was like a bollard.
Like a bollard thing almost. And it just kind of go, it's only clipped my wing mirror. But because of the force, the speed, it's ended up not great. And it's been quite a costly replacement because, believe it or not, you can't drive without your passenger wing mirror. Wouldn't recommend it anyway.
I fell asleep twice at the wheel. Once was after when I was working at, when I was pizza delivering, when I was at college, because they was always late nights. You finish at 1-2 in the morning. Mm. And I fell asleep after turning a corner, and I must have only drove 10 metres, and then I hit a speed bump, and because I hadn't like slowed down at all for the speed bump, the jolt of that like woke me up, and I was like, whoa, shit. And I was only a few hundred metres from home anyway, so I was fine. The other one proper shut me up. I'd just done a 24-hour guard when I was in the army, and guard duty used to be from 8 a.m. till 8 a.m, which is actually a minging time to do it. There was a different camp that I was on where they used to do it from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mm. So you would finish, potter about for a bit, and then just have an early night, and you'd be fine. Whereas you finish at 8 a.m, your whole day and the next couple of days are just fucked.
Mm.
And I was going on leave, and it was like, finish early on a Friday morning. So, and this is when I was based down south, so you just want to come home. So they tell you, you're not allowed to drive home immediately after doing guard duty for 24 hours. You're supposed to go sleep and eat and all that sort of stuff. But who listens? Nobody. So I got on the motorway and I got halfway home, got like up near Oxford somewhere, and I'd fell asleep. And I woke up as my car went over the rumble strips in the fast lane. And as I woke up, I'd already kind of started coming off the road and I yanked it to the left. And this is how close I came to just completely wrapping up. I hit the central reservation with the rear of my car, and I hit it that light that it was like someone had just rubbed sandpaper on the back of the wheel arch like that. Like it took the paint off, but didn't leave a mark. Like it just kissed it.
That action movie skim.
Yeah, kind of. And I was like a proper shaken. I had to like pull over and fucking like, and I had a nap then when I pulled over.
I actually wasn't shaken, funnily enough, but
I can't believe that.
Do you know what it was? You know what it is? Like, you know all the statistics about everyone being scared of stuff like roller coasters, rides, flying, hot air balloons, skydiving, and then the probability of dying or any like a fatal accident is so much more common driving, yet people feel so much safer in it. But then I think while you're inside it, it kind of has, when you're inside a car, you get this kind of false sense of security. Some, and you're not actually realizing that you are going at speed with a ton contraption basically that can cause damage to anything and everything that hits.
What actually worries me, and it should worry you guys at home as well, is lorries.
Lorries shape me up. And it's one of them.
That's like, what's going
to
kill you.
As you said, lorry drivers are the ones that are most susceptible to probably falling asleep. And it's one of them where, as it's been explained, you realise the kind of danger it is behind a wheel. When you lose concentration for half a sec, you literally cannot not be focused or concentrate for the slightest bit loss of time behind a wheel. Otherwise, that's all it can take for...
I used to be bad for being on my phone.
I don't do that. My mum's on to me about that.
There was one time, but you drove with me. I always had my phone in the thing, in the cradle.
You look up, you look down, before you know it.
I don't fuck with that. I always have my phone. I'm always listening to audiobooks and podcasts, but I always have my phone on the thing here. If I do text when I'm driving, it'll be at a light and it'll be a quick whoosh while it's in the cradle. I never do this, ever. I don't do that. I did used to do that. There was one time I was driving, this is 2006-07. So one of the problems with being in the military is your fucking reception to danger is just fucking gone.
It's flawed, isn't it?
Yeah, here's jumping out of planes and fucking going to war. That's some dangerous shit, yeah? This driving on the motorway shit's not dangerous. And it isn't. It doesn't feel like danger to you. So I remember I was on a fucking phone like to my old man or something like that on the way home once. And I was eating a butty and I was reading the paper on the motorway, doing 70. And I was like, and I sort of realized at the time, like, this is probably pretty fucking dangerous, like.
Yeah.
So I launched the paper. and then I remember then the going window. Like, no, just put it in the back seat. And I was like, shit, that's probably really fucking bad, that, innit? I'd done that drive. Nah. So I was based up near, everyone knows where Catrick is. It's basically on the M1. The drive from Manchester to Catrick is so boring. So you go along the 62 past Leeds, you do a left and you go up the M1. That's it. But it takes an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's fucking mind-numbingly boring. And that's why you're reading the paper. But don't do that. I'm not recommending that anyone does that.
Do you know what's the ironic thing, though? People always fear the motorway, but then aren't motorways meant to be, in the general scheme of things, a little bit more safer than,
yeah,
than normal roads?
The amount of... Think how fast you do a mile on a motorway. It's like this.
Yeah.
Whereas a mile around city centre Manchester can take a minute.
Yeah, it can, definitely. So, anyone that knows driving around Manchester.
So when you think about how fast those miles get done on a motorway, when you break down accidents per mile, like, it's almost a bit of stat padding going on with motorways.
And you know, when we're talking about safety and concentrating on that while driving, you know the people that scare me the most? It's kids. Like, when you drive, the amount of times you're just driving normally and then just kids just fly out into the road.
That's
ride out their bikes into the road. They don't have any sort of... I think that's the main...
Cyclists around Manchester. Well. There's not a lot of cycle lanes around Manchester. Yeah. So sometimes you just get cyclists just doing wild shit.
Yeah.
Quite often... And here's a weird one as well. Why are cycle lanes in Manchester allowed to go the wrong way down one-way streets? Because near where we park the cars, that lane there, I'll always look left as I'm coming out of that main car park.
Oh, yeah, and they're coming on the right.
It's a one-way street, and you look right, and it's fucking hell, mate. It's a one-way street. You shouldn't even have to look right.
I'm not... Obviously, I don't mean to offend anyone if you do ride bikes, but I hate cyclists. I actually hate them. They are the most annoying species, because I think that's what they are.
Any species?
On the roads.
They're just people with alternative forms of transport, mate.
Yeah, you got to be a bit... I don't know. I don't think I've met anyone normal that cycles.
One of my uncles just got proper into cycling. It's not like, oh, I do half an hour on my bike. He's like, I'm doing 50K.
Ah, his head's gone.
Yeah, head's fully gone.
Do you know what? It's one of them, like, they always seem to have this kind of... If you're on a bike and you're cycling on the roads, you should be a little bit scared. It seems like cyclists don't fear anything, almost. Mm. Like, they just swerve out into the middle of you. They hold traffic up. And they have this kind of blasé attitude where, I do what I want. I'm protected. I'm on a bike. It won't feel that way if you clipped them.
No.
But
where do you stand on motorbikes? I wouldn't mind a motorbike, me. But I ain't got the effort and patience to learn.
Nah, I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I'll just put it out there. I'm a proper shitbag.
No, but I wouldn't get one of those, like, absolute race bike type things. I quite like the
like fat. A moped.
No, like the Harley bike. Type. The more chilled type. Not a moped. They're a bit noisy.
Yeah.
And not the super bikes, because they're a bit ridiculous. And I don't... If I'm going somewhere, I don't have to get changed to go on the thing I'm going to, the place I'm going on. Like, people who get on them super bikes, you're getting fully levered up. I ain't doing that. I want to go on something that I could maybe wear jeans. And maybe it's boots instead of trainers, but do you know what I mean? Like, one of those slower, more chill bikes. Like, the ones that
you rarely wear jeans, though.
Who?
You. If anyone didn't know, Steve wears three-quarter shorts in the winter.
They're not three-quarters. They're short. I don't wear three-quarters. Don't put that out there.
They are three quarters.
They're not three quarters. They're shorts.
This guy loves to wear shorts. You obviously won't be able to see. You only ever see the top half of him, luckily. But
they're shorts. Three quarters are below the knee, our kid.
Oh.
Or at least halfway down your shin. These are shorts.
I know. It's just the...
That's the thing. Like, again, I'd probably... If I got, like, a bike, I'd probably only wear it... Drive it, even, in the summer. Because... Being on a bike and a grid when it's rained, well, now you're fucking in A&E for 4 hours, right? Fuck that noise.
A&E?
Yeah.
Maybe the morgue.
But, again, I don't have to fucking change how I'm dressing. I like wearing shorts and T-shirt when it's hot.
I don't. Because, being a Jamaican man, I have legs like twigs. So, my insecurity kind of gets rocketed up when I'm wearing shorts. So you will possibly find me wearing pants or jeans in a heat wave because I can't bear to get my legs out. And the issue is, You might not be able to tell. I'm a bit of a gym lad. I like to consider myself one. But so I might be looking like a little bit of a Dorito at the moment, and I think it kind of gets enhanced when I am wearing shirts and a shorts. Shirt and shorts. So that's my issue. And I think, does anyone know how to grow calves? Because I can't grow mine. I think that's my whole issue. Calf raises, mass drinks, protein shakes. I've tried it all and I just can't grow my calves at all.
I've got quite big calves. I've always done, I mean.
Yeah, what kind of helps when you're 300 pounds though?
I'm not 300 pounds.
All right.
275.
280.
Right. No, but I've always had like quite beefy legs. Now, this is the thing I don't understand. Do rugby players get drawn to play rugby because of their physiques? Not this physique. I was stocky when I was slim. Or is the type of training that you do at rugby encourage growth in certain areas, perhaps? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like marathon runners. Are people drawn to marathon running because it suits the physique that they already have and they find it easier to do? Or is the training and process of becoming a marathon runner something that helps you?
It's a combination, but I think I'd stick to what you said initially. I think anyone that excels in any kind of sport
that has
a particular physique, they do get shaped by it. But I think there's a large, there's a large thing where people have that physique a little bit genetically. There's a bit of like God-given, like physicality and ability involved.
Me and you are about the same size, yeah?
Yeah.
But height-wise, right?
Yeah.
We're about 5'10".
But you're like, what do you call it in school? You're an endomorph.
No, I wasn't, though. No.
You're an endomorph now. And I'm a
I am now.
I'm a mesomorph.
Meso? That's the
one that's smarter types, isn't it? Smarter types. Yeah, endomorph. No,
you're more ectomorph, I would say.
Nah, I think I'm a little...
You're not meso. I was definitely meso.
You think I'm too skinny to be meso?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know... The way I remember endomorph is they said the dough was a donut in school. So that may or may not be saying you're shaped like a donut.
I am now, but I was definitely mesomorph up until 5-6 years
ago. Yeah, I've seen the pictures. He's not lying.
I'm shredded.
Yeah.
Especially until I left the army. I think even if we do, like, so we're the same height, right?
Yeah.
Obviously a different weight at the moment by a bit. If me and you had both decided to do swimming, we wouldn't have become Michael Thorpe. Because it
you'd definitely beat me.
I don't know, you know.
Number one, you'd float. Number two, I can't swim. So that probably sets me back a little bit.
Not swimming's one thing.
Yeah.
This whole about black people that can't swim thing, though, right? Without getting into some seriously dangerous territory here.
Yeah.
When I did join the army, they literally lined you up by swimming ability. And it was a girl in our thingy that had actually swam for Great Britain. So she was at the front and she had that swimmer build, like she was about 6'3". She was huge, right? But she had shoulders on her. Like that, there's a couple of positions like a flanker or a second rower in rugby. They have this frame, like they don't come in other sizes. Like goalkeepers, they're almost
natural,
a stereotype.
And then then you get shades by the sport that you're involved in, isn't it? It's true.
But when they lined all the fucking people up, right? There's a lot of Fijians in the army. So they're like Pacific Islander people. And then there was a lot of black people. And in the middle of all of them was me. And I was like, one of us is in the wrong fucking spot here, I think. I don't swim very good. That's probably why I was good at sprinting. I think I've just got that sort of genetics.
I hear you.
But that was my experience of where I was in swimming. I can swim.
Nah, I've never...
I am slow as a mother. Like, if I try harder, I don't go faster.
You can float. Have you seen those videos? I saw one on House of Highlights on Instagram of how they teach babies to swim.
Throw them in.
And you just throw them in the water. And
that don't sit right with me.
It doesn't sit. It looks so fucked. Like, it literally, the babies are fighting for their lives almost, like gasping for air. And then humans have found a way to just say, oh, because they've not died, they're natural born swimmers.
Yeah, babies, people, I mean, like, Janine took Blake for like swimming lessons and stuff like that. But I think she was too old now. I think you have to throw them in at very, very, very young. And then they naturally hold their breath or do something.
Nah, I don't think it's a natural hold breath thing. I think it's personally, you tell me if I'm wrong. They just kind of get all this kind of erratic and panicky kind of movement to the point where they float as a result. So it's almost like I'm in the water and I'm a baby. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared. I'm shitting myself. The legs are flailing. Their arms are flailing. And they just kind of rise. That's what it looks like to me. It doesn't look like... When I'm hearing babies are natural swimmers when they throw them in, it's I'm thinking they're just going to be like... So
why can't you swim then? Do you just not take lessons?
I had swimming lessons. I just weren't very, very good.
So can you swim and you're just not quick?
I literally can barely stay afloat.
Barely stay afloat swimming? Because that's literally what swimming is.
Okay, I can probably survive if that helps. But if you're telling me to swim forward for 10 metres, it might take me half an hour. In a doggy paddle.
Yeah, I'm just slow. Yeah, we had to do some weird shit when you joined the army as well. Like they have you jumping off the high diving board, like fully dressed with like webbing on and things like that. And then they make you go and pick stuff up off the bottom and stuff like that. It's pretty fucking intense stuff. Like if you was a poor swimmer, like I'm not a strong swimmer, but I can swim. And I'm pretty confident like treading water. I'm just not quick. Yeah. Like I never could swim fast like Joe from one end to the other. I would take my time and I'm all right, but I was never quick doing it. And I never really fucking took to it either. I did, we had to do some shit for an aircraft carrier once, and you had to do all this extra training and stuff. And basically, where aircraft carriers go, that the water's that cold that they put you in this full fucking noddy suit, man. And you have to do all this sort of, if the ship sets on fire, here's what you do sort of stuff.
Do you have to do like survival kind of education almost, depending on where you are? Because I'm thinking about... like all the stuff that you've got to know that probably aren't just physical training in terms of, because they would train you in worst case scenarios.
Yeah, you do survival for everything. So we did some Arctic stuff, which I fucking hated. I did do desert stuff. Now, they send you off on all these pre-operational thingies. A lot of it is PowerPoint. Some of it is practical. But a lot of it's PowerPoint. So you've been taught everything. How much of that stays in because you haven't actually practiced the shit that they're talking about? Like the pure Bear Grylls shit. Like, oh, here's what to do if you've got fucking blah, blah, blah. I don't know what sort of... And I don't know anyone that has had to use any of those like proper survival skills. Because when shit's gone west in the army, like, let's say, what's the scenarios you're looking at? Helicopter crash. We just die. What's the other scenarios? Like a fucking, something blew up on a boat. You just die. Like, it's all well and good having all this survival training. And we did some, quite firefighter heavy shit where they teach you how to, fight fires on an aircraft carrier in case one of the Apaches fucking blows up or sets on fire. At the end of the day, Apache with a Hellfire missiles sets on fire, we're all dead.
You know what it sounds like when you go to the army? It's like, welcome to the army. Let's prepare you for the 1,000,000 things that can go wrong. That's basically what they've done.
Pretty much.
It's like, you've come. Thanks for coming. But it's a big possibility.
It's the same as everyone else's.
You might not make it back. But but anyway, I'm going to prepare you for when the boat you're on blows
load
up.
Of- Really interesting shit. Like, yeah. I did a team medic course. You learn how to give drips. You learn how to do, I think it's tracheotomies and shit like that. Like, recognize the symptoms.
Is that the someone's breathing stopped and you stick like a finger in their throat?
No, you don't do the throat, you do the ribs.
What's the one where?
So, the one that they're looking at there, that's called a tension pneumothorax, right? That's one of the most dangerous things that happens on a battlefield. Quite often, people get shot in the chest cavity. And
it's
because
like a collapsed lung kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah. So if you get shot in the chest cavity, the pressure changes from outside to inside and you end up... So your lungs are really flimsy things. Like, have you ever seen lungs outside of a body? They look madness.
No, I don't think I have.
So basically the air builds up inside the chest cavity and it forces the lung to collapse. But the symptoms of someone's lung collapsing is the windpipe moves left or right. So your whole lung system moves. So that's one of the things to see. Your lips will turn blue and your ship moves to one side. You have to identify which side the cavity is going to be building up the pressure on because it's collapsing your lungs. You will literally suffocate if you don't fix that. And it's been in loads of films where people have stuck like a pen knife in and twisted it or put a pen lid in. It's basically just a needle.
But I was thinking about, I've seen the throat ones on films where they kind of just... penknife in the throat there, middle. They kind of make a little hole and like put like a little straw in.
I don't know what that one's about.
You know what I'm saying? But what's... it looks like some really grit, like really gritty stuff, but it's kind of just makes you a bit fascinated about how the human body works.
It's madness. Yeah. Like, you, I mean, you get taught about... blood loss is obviously a huge one. IEDs, gunshot wounds. Blood loss is a massive one. So you do a lot on the medical courses about basically just fucking stopping bleedings, because bleedings is what's going to kill most people. I found a lot of that quite interesting. That you have to be prepared for all the different shit that you're going to face in different scenarios. Like, you do a lot if you do any sort of vehicle licenses, then they'll teach you about, you've got to know how to change wheels, because wheels fucking go, whether they get shot or whether they just go. Like, you go over, like the roads that you're driving over, they're not brand new tarmac roads. So wheels are going to go, like wheels are going to buckle. You're going to have to change your wheels out. So you do a lot on vehicle recovery. You know, you have to know how to service your own weapons, because if your weapon goes tits up in the middle of fucking Afghanistan, there's no ASDA you can go and get a new fucking weapon from. You have to make your shit work. Yeah, there's a lot of adapt and overcome and make do and mend and all that kind of shit, because you have to finish the mission no matter what. Like, you can't be like, my boot ripped, so I'm going home. Like, no, so take, like, that shit up and keep going.
From what all you know and all you've learned and all you've experienced, what do you think your like survival chances are in a zombie apocalypse?
Fucking high, kid.
I think I've asked you that before, innit? Zombie apocalypse survival chances. Everyone always believes that they'll make it. But do you think it'll be high? Or maybe not, because I'm not guessing you can run that fast anymore.
Not at the moment. But it depends on what's the zombie situation. We're talking 28 days later.
Oh, yeah, because there's different ones. The ones that fucking sprint, jump quicker than you're kind of superhuman, and then you got the ones that are kind of sluggish and slow.
Yeah, because if it's the Walking Dead ones, well, yeah, I'll be fine.
It always seems that way, but then movies always find a way of making it, making them have some advantage. No, but in terms of, they're slow moving, but if you're, me and you are bunkered up in a room like this, and they all of a sudden just kind of submerge on us, and they've covered every doors, and there's like 100 of them, it doesn't matter how slow they're moving, you're not going to get through or get out. That's generally what happens.
Yeah, you just get overwhelmed by them.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because there's a weird almost fantasy and fetishization of people, I think, wanting some sort of zombie apocalypse.
I don't think it's that far-fetched.
No, it isn't far-fetched. And actually, there was, I mean, I certainly didn't think there was a zombie apocalypse coming. But if you see how quickly shit went west at the start of the COVID pandemic,
yeah,
bog roll went in a day. What the fuck? There must be people that have still got bog roll from March last year. There's no way you've used that much shit roll. Like, if you, and you see how fast supermarkets cleaned out. Like,
I definitely would have used.
We got like 3 or 4 days.
Toilet roll goes pretty fast.
Yeah, but for it to like completely sell out the way it did, that was a bit on top of that. Like, depends. We live in a city centre, right? That's not a good place to live if shit's going to go west, I think. Yeah. Anyway, do you know what? I like off topic. We need to talk about England.
I was gonna say, if they still had toilet roll from now, from then, they would have had a family of constipates.
Maybe they got that much. How did it sell out in a day? And this IBS. Is the madness. Is like, so, it was one guy who went, I'm going to get a load of toilet roll. And then everyone else in the supermarket went, why is he getting all the
just
toilet roll?
Just the excitement and the dramatization of it. People have got excited, didn't they? Never really fully bide into this plan. I mean, pandemic, but that's just a different story for another day.
Right, I'm going to talk about England. Before I talk about England, I've got a conspiracy to throw at you. Right, so you see the shit with Matt Hancock, the health secretary, right? I spoke to Patterson before, and he told me the new guy, is it Javid? What's he called? Sajid Javid, right? Mm. Sajid Javid's the new health secretary. Patterson, I don't know where he gets his info from, but I'm just going to roll with it being correct at the moment. He said, Javid isn't about lockdowns and all the different COVID protocols. He wants to open the place up.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to put it to you, that being the case, assuming his info's correct, that this new guy's all about opening it up. If Hancock was the guy that was making loads of lockdowns happen, because Johnson seems like he just wants to open it up and fuck it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think he was set up with the old... One, why is there a camera in his office like that? Two, how did it get out? the way they got rid of him, doesn't that seem a bit House of Cards-ish to you?
The weird thing is, like, when people have said it could be conspiracy or kind of strange in terms of how he's been caught out, do you not believe it almost seems fake in a sense of Hancock being in on it himself? Because how... Didn't it look a little bit played out? It looked like something out of Fresh Prince or something, the way he's looking through the door gap. She's there just to come and walk up to him.
It definitely looks a little on the creepy side. Yeah, but don't mean how many times they had to wait for that footage to come. I just think the way it came out...
I don't know, man. It's like in perfect view and it's just a bit...
The fact it was so convenient and he's potentially the guy that's stopping all of the lockdowns from easing... That feels convenient for me.
So why do you not believe that he could have been kind of ushered a little bit of cash? Kind of like post-sacking kind of cash.
But look, just answer that for me, because we got to touch England because we need to wrap for that thing. Yeah. So do you think that there's more to that story than meets the eye? Like he was set up potentially?
There's always more than meets the eye.
It's good stance to have.
No, it always, isn't it? That's why there's always this negative perception when it comes to conspiracies, as I've said. And it's always something that's bugged me because...
There's a note that's come on the screen with a big fat allegedly alongside it. Yeah. It says, Sajid Javid has stakes in JP Morgan, which is a big player in the healthcare in the US. It could be a step towards privatisation of the NHS, allegedly.
Allegedly. Wow. Oh, shit.
That's interesting. Right, get in the comments on that before we wrap, because we need to do a couple of minutes quick.
Before, because we're going to have critiques about conspiracies. Do you know what it is?
No, you need to shut up because we've got... Literally no minutes. So England.
Wait. So can I not finish my point on?
Let's leave him on a cliffhanger
files.
And we'll finish this next episode. Come back to me with more info.
Finish this next episode.
Yeah.
You mean this one? It's episode one. Exactly, Alex.
Next episode. So we need to talk quickly about England. What was your thoughts after the game?
I thought Germany were terrible in the grand scheme of things. I think England, team-wise, are one of two, three best teams left in it.
You see the XG? It felt comfortable in the end. But the XG was almost identical.
It wasn't. It's one of those where there's so many spells in that game where I'm looking at England and thinking, we've got good players, decent team, but we didn't look comfortable. I feel like if Germany were a little bit sharper in certain instances, they could have put Muller away. Muller could have scored. But you know what it is? I see players that don't normally play the way they do for England play better for their clubs. And this is the reason, because think about the amount. This is why England have failed for so long. It's the public and the media pressure. The first 15 minutes, first 20 minutes, every England player looked shit scared. Like everything was a bit tentative. There was a bit like...
Well, Germany looked good, actually. Germany was dominating the ball.
And I'm just looking at it thinking, this is why England haven't won anything for so long. They go into tournaments, they've got the whole weight of a nation that is football psychotic almost. And desperate
to win.
And they've just fallen underneath the pressure.
It's coming home, lads. It is coming home.
It's going over to Congo.
If you guys are doing random podcasts, I'm about to talk about random things, and I can randomly come in. Come on, England! It's coming yard! It's coming yard!
It's got a point.
He has got a point, though.
He has got a point.
But I don't know where he's coming. He should have come with a conspiracy, at least. But the thing is, he's so heavy-handed. Fucking hell, shoulder.
England's route to the final now seems very straightforward.
It looks that way, and it's going to be English fashion, that we get Ukraine or Sweden, don't need to win in at the moment, and lose to
them. One-all last time we saw. And lose to them. There's been an update on that. Is it still one-all? What? 1-1 still. Right, so it's still one-all. Obviously, that can go either way from here now.
And it's just like, it's a nothing game, not two great sides, but...
And it's Czech Republic, Denmark, potentially waiting us on the other side of
Denmark.
That.
We beat Czech Republic already. Denmark look decent. They look inspired almost by what happened to Eriksen. Just the side of the draw England are on, it's all set up for us to make it to the final. And in typical English fashion, it's not going to be that surprising when we end up crashing out to either Ukraine or Sweden next.
But if they don't, all right, so if they push... Through the next game, you're looking at beating you're looking at beating Denmark or Czech Republic for a spot in the final. Is it coming yard then?
Is it coming yard? Do you know what? Maybe it is, because everything in terms of weight comes to an end, isn't it? It's been 55 years. It's a pretty rounded number, isn't it? Quick maths. 66, 50. Yes. No.
It's been a lot of years.
It's been a lot of years anyway.
I think it's 55.
I think it's eventually England are going to crack it, especially with the players that we do have. I don't agree with the way Southgate sets up the team. I don't think he's a great manager. I think he just has good players.
That's it. He's going to be like knighted and all sorts of shit. Yeah, no, and he's just absolutely fluffed.
It's not that. And he's got nothing about him. No, nothing about Southgate excites you, innit? He just all he does is look like a principal with a long nose. And that's just kind of the vibe that he gives me, innit? He's just head teacher-ish. He's not that likable. He's
and he don't play the players that have got any sort of sauce.
I don't know any.
Grealish, Sancho, anyone that's got a bit of fucking character, nah. He want. Does it come in beige though?
A little bit, and it also bugs me. It's a weird thing the way he names all the players first name basis in interviews, and it's a bit strange. And it's not like he's around them every day or anything. He obviously knows them from playing.
The thing is, like he got the job on the back of being all right with England.
He's like Bakayo and Raheem played well today.
But do you know who played? Who did it for England under 21s? Every manager they've ever had. Because England under 21s are quality, always. Yeah. His career is literally missing a penalty for England in Euro 96 and being stamped on by Roy Keane. There is no other discernible moment in his career that's of any fucking note.
Until he wins the final of the Euro 2021.
That's the absolute matter. And he's gonna have a statue at Wembley before Bobby Charlton does. It's fucking sickening. Anyway.
You look genuinely disgusted by that.
I'm fucking disgusted with it. Anyway.
But yeah, got more conspiracies next time because I'm not going to call it conspiracies. We need to ban that word. We need to call
it.
No, we need to call it critical thinking.
Right. Give us some topics that you'd like us to discuss in next week's podcast. This is, I guess we can call it episode one of the XG files, seeing as though last week was just...
I love how these cameras are making me look, though. Good work, Patterson. Where you set up, perfect. I'm gleaming. 4K, is it?
Give me a follow. Make sure to subscribe and get your topics in for next week. What do you want to see us discuss? And we'll get it sorted. Laters.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.